Blog Talk Radio.
UGS Radio is not intended for anyone under the age of 18 years old. We reserve the right to say whatever the fuck we want to say because we believe in free speech. And if you do not believe in free speech...
Get the fuck out of here, you stupid cocksucker!
For rap music's biggest online archive of legends and pioneer interviews as well as underground music from around the globe, visit us now at UGSforLife.com.
Yeah! President Beta! Murder Master Music! Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show today. This right here is where the real rap at. A fuck pilot. We doing what we love just to hear it play back. This is where the real hits at.
The Young Castro from the Outlaw.
It's your boy Al Capone.
What's that in this bootleg? The Rock Capone from the Dayton family.
Baby, this is your boy Al Capone.
What up, y'all? This is E-Shop.
Yo, 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 what's up? This is your boy C-Murder, and I'm chilling with my boy Scott Beta, and you're listening to the Murder Master Music Show. It's the hottest thing out right now, you heard me? Keep it true.
And as always, Free C-Murder, you know what I'm saying? That dude is, he's been incarcerated for a long time, and he's maintained his innocence all throughout his incarceration, so we hope he can come home to his family. So always always a pleasure to have him open up the show, you know what I'm saying? But tonight we got a legend tonight. I'm going to give him a call right now. This is one of the guys behind the pioneering rap groups on the West Coast, NWA, probably the most influential group in rap history. DJ Yella, he's going to be on here right now. He was there from day one, you know what I'm saying? He stuck by Eazy-E's side all the way to the end. I'm going to bring him on right now. They're getting ready to make a big biopic film of NWA. I think they're working on it right now as we speak. Plus, you got to think about this, too. These guys, a lot of people getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. You know, Public Enemy, you know, Run DMC, Beastie Boys. It's only a matter of time before they come around to NWA. So we're going to give them a call right now. See if we can get him on the line. Yella.
Hello?
Yeah, Yella. How you doing, brother?
Yeah. Oh, pretty
Welcome.
Good.
Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show. I want to thank you for taking time to come on the show and join this massive archive of legends and pioneers. How you feeling? You doing all right?
Oh, pretty good.
Man, first thing I want to ask you, I know you've been doing a lot of shows, you know, the Rock the Bell shows and, you know, with Bone mm-hmm. Thugs and the Eazy-E Hologram. That's got to be amazing for you. What's it like being able to... You know what I'm saying? Be on stage with you know what I'm saying? Eazy-E, you know, Willis Hologram, anyway.
I mean, I guess it's a little different. You know, the only bad thing is I don't get to see it on stage. That's the only bad thing. You know, I got to wait till the video come out to look at it, though. But, no, I guess it's like history, you know, something different. Something I wouldn't know this would have been happened 20 years ago if somebody would have told me. Not at all.
Yeah. Pretty soon we're going to be able to teleport shit more than other people, I think, the way technology is going. But, that's crazy. I saw the video, and, you know what I'm saying, it was good. So you guys don't see him. What do you guys do? Like, you guys do performances at a time to, like, know where to stand and everything, or how does it work?
You got to know where to stand, and you can also look at the floor, right, in front of the hologram that's being projected from the ground. So you can look down to see where he is.
Yeah.
That's where you can really see there.
Well, so
it's
far we've
crazy
only...
technology, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, of course, you know, last year they had Tupac. And we've only seen the one video as they brought the hologram out on other shows, or was it just that one show?
Yeah. No, we just did San Jose Saturday night. And then... next week is D.C., and then New York, New Jersey.
Oh, so you, so everywhere you guys go, you're going to do the hologram then?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's what's up. That's definitely what's up. Now, is Dre and Cube and Ren and anybody going to get on stage and, you know, perform together, or any talks like that, or is it just you and Bone so far?
Well, just me and Bone. Just me and Bone. I mean, you know, we got a movie coming up soon, so.
Yeah,
now
you never
know what's going to come out of that. Yeah.
The movie, yeah, they've been talking about that. Have you been able to give a lot of input and insight into the making of the movie?
Well, I, you know, did my part for the script, you know, my part of the story and stuff like that. So I think it's in the last stage of the last rewrite. I think they're still casting some, so it's coming up soon. They're going to be shooting pretty soon.
Yeah. It's, you've been there from the beginning, from the conception of Ruthless Records all the way to the passing of your friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I would hope that you would have a big part in that movie. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. You know, I want to be consulting, you know, over music, you know, something. A bunch of things. I do everything. Sweep floors, all of that.
Yeah. I mean, behind the scenes at Ruthless Records, what was the atmosphere like as far as when you guys were just all kicking it and chilling? You know what I'm saying? Was there any you know what I'm saying, clashes, or were you guys all just kicking it like homies, just getting along?
No, it was nothing. Yeah, it was nothing. Even into the days they left, there was no beef, no nothing, you know. Most of our time, you know, me and Dre is in the studio. Then Cube and Ren or Easy come and do their words and stuff. So it was never, it was always like a family. I mean, always. Even to the day Cube didn't come back and then when Dre left, it was always like a family. No kind of issue that I knew of.
Oh. I know Easy was, you know, he was always talking about wanting to, you know, put together and, you know, the group back together. Before he passed, how close was he to making that happen? Do you think it was about to be a reality?
Oh, it could have happened. Cube was down. Dre would have been down. So, yeah, it would have happened. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If he wouldn't have passed so fast, oh, yeah, that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, I always thought, you know, like the Beatles, they got John Lennon's son. I always wanted to see Little Easy and you guys. Were there ever talks about you guys, you know, doing something like that?
Not as of yet. But, you know, during the movie stuff, you never know what's going to come out of that. Maybe a tour. You never know. Maybe a bunch of stuff will come out of that.
Just
I think
before
a tour
I called
will
you.
Come before anything. Uh-huh.
Just before I called you, I was talking about all these groups getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. You know, Public Enemy, you know, of course, Run DMC, Beastie
mm-hmm.
Boys. Do you think it's only a matter of time before NWA gets in there?
I'm quite sure. I mean, you know, I don't like to talk about ourselves, but I think we are. I have a strong feeling we will.
Yeah, because you guys touched on a lot of subjects, I mean, that were you know, true to what was really going on. Like the Fuck the Police
mm-hmm.
record, for example. You know, a few years later, we saw the Rodney King. You guys were like a warning, like a prophetic warning to what was going on.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happened, you know, anywhere. I don't care where it is. They used to mess with people all the time. So it was... The stuff we were saying was nothing new. It was new to people hearing it up in the suburbs, stuff like that. But, nah, it was, you know, well, we were like reporters. We were just telling you what happened or what could happen in the street. That's all we did.
Yeah, you guys, you know, I mean, definitely were ahead of your time. But, you know, you had Ice-T that was out there. You know, he was spitting some street raps. You had a few other cats out there, but you guys took it to a different level, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And did you ever think that you would get that much attention with NWA?
No, we never thought like that. All we thought was making a few bucks. That's it. We didn't think about no 25 years later, they still talking about us. You know, we had no idea. If we had thought like that, we'd have never made it. Never. At all.
Now, Ren... MC Ren, I always thought, was a very gifted lyricist, and I was always kind of disappointed. You know, he he put out an album a couple of years ago, Reincarnated. But do you talk to Ren at all? I mean, has he got anything in the works?
I don't know. I haven't talked to Ren in a few years. You know, I talked to Cube and I talked to Dre. Well, I just seen Dre 2 weeks ago, so I haven't talked to Ren in a while. I mean, Ren had a great voice. Great voice. He had the best voice, I think, in the group. Well, the strongest voice, definitely.
Yeah, Ren was brutal with the lyrics, and, you know, when he spit, you felt what he was saying. He had that knack to make you really feel what he was saying. He was the youngest in the group too.
Yeah.
But you
well,
and
no,
Dre,
I think Cube was younger. I think Cube was younger.
Cube was younger than him, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Hey, well, they're pretty close in age, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. But you and Dre, obviously, you know, we had clientele on here a couple months ago, and you know, you and Dre, obviously, you know, you guys originally came from the World Class Wrecking Crew. And you wanted to get away from that and into something else. What led you away from that and going into this other direction, the Ruthless Records?
Well, the first thing was we wasn't getting paid. That was the main factor. Well, that'd make anybody leave anything. You know, and then when opportunity came, because Dre already knew Easy, so once he knew... Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Once he knew Easy and Easy had the money, that was it. You know, history was made right then. But, yeah, it was made for us to leave that group because we didn't make no money. We made money doing shows. That's it. Never got a royalty check. Never, nothing at all.
Now, do you and Dre ever, like, when you guys talk about it, do you ever look back and be like, man, what the hell were we wearing?
You know, so we don't even talk about that. You know, that was back then. We was trying to please the women. We didn't care about the guys. You know, nah. We were just out to catch women. That's it.
Yeah, but you once y'all hooked up with Easy, he held the record, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's just his sound, what did him, his voice. I mean, because our original, you know, the original song was for another group from New York. But they thought they was, you know, too good or whatever, wasn't their style or something to do it. So that's what changed history right there. The Boys in the Hood was definitely for that group. I forgot the name of the group, but it was definitely for them two guys.
And they didn't want to mess with it because it was too West Coast for them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, back then, you know, the East Coast wasn't really giving no play to the West Coast or down South, Midwest or anywhere really. So a lot of dudes, you know what I'm saying, they wasn't feeling the West Coast. But it worked out for the best because that record kicked it all off for you guys, didn't it?
Yeah, because it was funny that, you know, we were the first from the West to get into New York. You know, we went to the Apollo. We didn't get booed, but, you know, they didn't clap for us, but they didn't boo us.
Yeah.
I think that was a victory right there.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. Well, then you guys come out with the Fuck the Police record. Next thing you know, the FBI is on your ass. What was it getting a letter from the FBI?
I mean, it was like, you know, something unheard of. You know, it was just like another great break for us. You know, them, you know, sending the letter. Then another agency sends them the letter, you know, talking about the whatever right or something we got, the, you know, amendment or whatever it was, you know. So it just, all that stuff, you know, just happened for a reason. It made us even start getting bigger and bigger once they try to ban us.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, I know, you know, to this day, you guys still honor Easy every year. You know, you kick it with his family, you guys throw parties and whatnot. What's it like to be able to reunite with everybody and see Cole 187, see Cocaine and everybody like that, man? What's the atmosphere like when you guys get together?
I mean, you know, something that's so funny. This is the first time I've seen them in years.
Really?
I just stayed away from everything, from everybody. I just stayed to myself. You know, this year was the first time I went to the party they had. And, you know, I had seen them like a week before, 187 about a week before, but that was the first time I seen him in some years. So, I mean, it was different. It was cool. But, yeah, I just hung out. I just stuck to myself. I always was like that, though, even in the group, in the heydays. Always was to myself. Always.
Yeah, because you guys did a, I mean, a lot of people, you know, when they think of you, they think you was just a DJ, but you had a lot to do with the production.
Yeah.
You know, you produced a lot of platinum hits, so it wasn't just Dre on the beat. You had a lot of input, too.
Yeah, I mean, because it was, you know, me and Dre from the beginning. it was the very beginning of this cycle, it was me and him. You know, from the Wrecking Crew, we DJs before the Wrecking Crew, so. Everybody think I'm just a DJ. Nah. Me and him produce. Co-produce.
It's the same thing, you know, we had DJ Ready Red on the show. A lot of people just thought he was just the DJ for the Ghetto Boys. People don't know he's the one that gave them their sound. You know, their original signature sound. Now, we've also had, you know, Mr. Mix on the show. Another, you know what I'm saying, DJ / producer. Do you ever talk to guys like that? You ever kick it with brothers like that?
Well, you know, I really don't run into too many people. I'm starting to run into them now, but especially over the weekend. You know, I've seen, you know, E-40 and all that stuff, and the people that's coming to the shows and stuff. So now I'm getting back into my DJing, so I'm going to be seeing a lot more people.
Yeah, because I always wonder, man, your album, you know, after Easy Pass, it went gold, didn't it?
You know, some I don't know. I forgot all about that stuff. So, you know, I did it just from the heart. I wasn't doing it as for money or sales, none of that kind of stuff.
It was dedicated.
I just did it from the heart. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. You know, I'll never forget, you know, when Easy had passed, I remember seeing when his lawyer was reading the statement. I remember the vision that I remember the most was seeing you, man, just break down. And I knew it had really hit you hard, man. How close were you and Easy, man? Were you guys always kicking it together?
I mean, we got closer when Dre left.
Yeah.
Because I was the only one left. Because Ren had left, too, so... So we was doing, you know, that's where we found the Bone Thugs and stuff like that. We was doing his last shows. It was just me and him and stuff. So I guess we got closer that way.
Yeah.
You know, once Dre stopped, we end up getting much closer.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a shock. You know, something
Ren,
different, you know.
Ren had left. I know he put out a couple albums after Easy had passed. I never knew Ren left prior to his passing.
I mean, he was kind of doing his own thing. I mean, we had did a couple of songs, one or two songs, him and Easy did together. But it was more like he had left a little while before that. But he still was on Ruthless, though, so.
Yeah.
So he still, you know, I guess he had obligations or something to make records, so.
He was just doing his own thing.
With
everybody leaving... You know, what kept you around? What made you stay? I mean, because you stayed there to the end. You know, say what kept you there?
You know, I had no reason to leave. I had no beef with nobody. Just like when E was making the diss song and video and stuff like that. He knew not to ask me to do anything for that song or be in the video. He knew I wouldn't do it. I have nothing against Dre. Me and Dre was buddies. Still buddies to this day. So I just stayed because I had no reason to leave. Dre asked me to leave, but I never did answer him.
Yeah.
I never told him, oh, yay or nay. Never did.
What
but, yeah,
was it
I
like
stayed.
To be in the middle of that, though? I mean, you got one friend, you know, taking vicious shots at another friend and the other guy replying. I mean, how the hell did you maintain to not even, you know, get involved?
You know, the easiest way I did it was just stay away from it.
Yeah.
That was the easiest way. Just like, nope. He knew I would not get in the video dissing him. He knew that. He wouldn't even act. He knew it. Yeah. There ain't no way. Nah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's real, man. It's you know, a lot of people from both sides got involved. And I noticed, you know, I always noticed you kind of stayed away from that. So that's what's up. You know, but what I wanted to ask you this too. We had Jerry Heller on the show recently, and he said that Eazy E, you know, he saw a problem in Suge Knight, you know, early on. And he had told you, this is what Jerry told me exactly on the show. He said, Jerry, I think Suge is going to be a problem. We should kill him. And Jerry said, you know, you can't kill him, obviously. You know, you're going to throw everything away. But then Jerry said, thinking back, I wish I had let him kill him. How did Suge get in the mix? And was he really that big of a problem early on?
I don't know if he was a problem. He was more, because he came in as a bodyguard.
Yeah.
You know, for the DOC. And then next after that, he's managing the DOC. So, you know, I don't know too much about him. I met him once, maybe twice. That's it. You know, like me, I just stay away from everything. I don't get into all that.
Yeah.
You know, just like Jerry. I have nothing to say. You know, I can't say nothing about him either. I just like, nah, I was a drama-free person. That's exactly what I was. I don't like no drama at all.
Well, that's real. I respect that. I respect that, man. So I mean, what was your relationship like with Jerry? I mean, was he a pretty cool guy? I mean, this guy managed, Creedence or whoever, the Doors, or not the Doors, Elton John, I think, a few other acts.
Yeah,
it was
big
60s.
Group. Yeah. Yeah, he had big groups. I mean, he was great in the beginning. You know, he was great in the beginning, but, you know, stuff just, you know, stuff happened. You know, we supposed to go out on tour and, you know, people start getting greedy, you know, wanting too much money for the tour. And just that hurt a lot towards the end. We were supposed to do another tour, and that didn't happen. Because of somebody didn't, you know, they wanted too much. We were supposed to do shows with Guns N' Roses. They was giving us $25,000 for 5 minutes of work or so, 10 minutes or something like that. You know, they wanted too much. He wanted $50,000. I mean, you know, that kind of stuff starts adding up. And if the tour would have happened, Dre might not have left. He might not have left.
You think Dre would have stuck around?
Yeah, I think he would have. He might have. But stuff started getting, you know, funny. So that's where everything started going haywire and just, you know, everybody, you know, it was funny. It was crazy when he left at first, but it was the best thing he done. Cube, too. That was the best thing they ever done. It was the league.
Yeah, for themselves. Yeah, for their own career.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yo, oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, you guys was going to get $50,000 a show or whatever to with Guns N' Roses, who they was kind of the bad boys of heavy metal at the time, of rock.
Oh, yeah.
You guys were the bad boys of rap, so why not? That made sense. That could have been potentially one of the biggest tours, you know what I'm saying, ever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right, I mean, so Guns N' Roses was huge back then. Huge.
And they were crazy.
And they wanted
too. They were always starting fights and... You know, and they were doing all kinds of crazy shit, and
you guys. Know, they weren't doing like rap shows, you know, in little, you know, sports arenas and amphitheater. They were doing Coliseum, you know, 100,000 people. That would have boosted NWA up even bigger than what it was.
Now, you guys was going to get, let's say you did 40 dates. And you guys got $50,000 a show, or $25,000, whatever the amount you said was going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's big bucks right there. What did
back then? Back then, that was big money for 10 minutes.
Yeah, back
of
then. You know, who didn't want that to happen?
Only one person. Now, I'm not going to mention his name. You talk to him. Now, I put it like that.
Okay, I get you. I get you now. Was this person, what was he trying to get, like $100,000 a show? Or?
No, they were offering us $25,000. He wanted double.
Greedy. Oh, you wanted $50,000.
Yeah, they wanted $50,000. So I'm like, wow. $25,000, this was early 90s. For 10 minutes? Come on.
Yeah.
And then if you get on their tours be 100, 200 cities. You know, just like, wow, come on.
That would be setting you guys up. Well, at that time, you guys already had the number one record in the country, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
That's the first rap record that hit number one on the Billboard 200, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so. You know, because we ship gold automatically. You know, platinum in a week or whatever it was, you know, a couple of weeks and stuff. Yeah, it was just crazy. That was like almost the nail in the coffin right there. Once that didn't go and then we didn't have our own tour again, that kind of put the nail in the coffin.
And that's fucking crazy because that's like the Bears, you know, when they won the Super Bowl, they dismantled the team right after they won.
Yeah.
It's like, are you
crazy?
That's the best team in history, football history. Why the hell are you going to dismantle them? And the same thing happened with you guys in the rap game.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Oh, yeah. We went out as number one.
It didn't just happen to you guys. I mean, you guys were at the top, but you look at that 91, three big influential groups. You had you, the Ghetto Boys, and the 2 Live crew. Everything changed for each three group after you guys dropped those highly successful records.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy, you know.
Yeah.
And in all these years later, you know, here it is. It's 2013 going on 2014, and we still want a fucking NWA record. I mean, is there any, like, old, like, verses of Easy laying around that you guys can scrap together or something? Or can you
do you have
stuff in the vaults?
It was because we didn't make demos. When we make an album, we went in the studio and did it. One day, the song is done. You know, we didn't make demos and no demos. We made no demos. And it was a few tracks laying around, but all of them, no vocals. Easy had one song finished. Well, it wasn't finished. He had vocals on it, but it was a diss song. And I just wouldn't release it. I was like, nah, that's over. That's done. He passed away. Leave it alone. Let it die.
Yeah. Well, you know, on the straight off the streets of motherfucking Compton, he had What Would You Do? And, you know, a few other tracks on there, you know. But that was supposed to be a double album. Did he have any things laying around? Because I know people put stuff on Impact of a Legend and different things like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't nothing, you know, legal songs laying around. But, you know, it was nothing else. There was just a few tracks and maybe a verse, maybe here and there. I don't even think it was that much. Because I had all the albums. When he passed away, I had all his albums. And I didn't think nothing about that album at all. A lot of people said, why I didn't hold ransom and stuff. I'm like, for what? At all. But when they came looking for the album, I said, hey, pay me what I normally get. And here, you can have it. I don't care.
So, what after Eazy-E had passed, what changed at Ruthless Records?
I would say it just went kind of crazy, you know, not crazy, but I guess it went kind of haywire because it was about to be in court and all that stuff. You know, it just went crazy. I stayed away from all of it, so I didn't even go around at all. Not one.
Were you under contract at the time? Or?
You know, I don't know, I might have been, but I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think I was. Yeah, I think my contract might be over or something like that.
What was it like to see, you know, Bone Thugs and Harmony achieve the success that they've achieved? Because, I mean, not to take anything away from you and NWA, but to a certain point, you know, one of their singles broke the Beatles' records. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So they... Not saying they did achieve greater things than NWA, but they achieved fucking amazing things. What was it like to see that, knowing that you guys helped groom these dudes?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was me and E that that discovered them. They actually snuck into the Eazy-E show, and I end up hearing them rapping. You know, go ahead and rap it. Then Eazy heard them, and then by the time we got home from them shows, he had already started sending them on the bus to L.A. All right, but they were just so different. They were just like us. We came out different. They came out different.
So,
because the way they was rapping, that was the first time I heard people rap like that.
Yeah, it was on some other shit.
Oh, yeah, it was just totally different. That's what made them so unique. It was just different from everybody else. You know, like nowadays, everybody sounding like everybody, you know. Only the bigger heavyweights get over nowadays. You know,
yeah.
People with their own style, you know, Cube, Dre, you know, all the big people, all the heavyweights. But, you know, they came out different. They came out way different.
Now, do you have a project that you're working on? You got anything for the fans coming out? Or?
Well, I'm getting back into my DJ because I'm starting to DJ overseas and stuff. But I just got back from Dubai a couple of weeks ago. I might working on something, then the movie, then a book. You know, I'm putting my hands into everything.
Not to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. I just put my hands into everything.
I read the Jerry Heller book, and I really liked it. You know, you were there pretty much before Heller was there. You were there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, from the beginning to the end. Is your book? What's it going to be like? Is it going to be just like your experiences there, or is it going to be like a tell-all type thing?
It'd probably be mine, all the way up to now. You know,
okay.
Starting from the beginning, all the way to now, the different changes
in the music business or in life in general, all the way to now.
You know, when I was doing the porn movie, everything.
That was huge. I interviewed you when you were doing the porn movies.
Mm-hmm.
This is back in around 08 for a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
you were doing
highly successful flicks.
Oh, I was in it deeply.
yeah. Pardon the pun, right?
I made you know, over 300 movies.
3,300 movies.
Years. No, 300 movies. At least 300. Oh,
300
well,
movies.
300. Oh,
yeah.
I mean, I shot, directed. I didn't write them, but I shot them, filmed them, edited them, take all the pictures, everything. I was
just like
music. I jumped in all the way.
And what happened with that? When did you stop doing it? Or?
Yeah, it just got old. It just got, you know, 12 years. I was like, okay, that's enough. It's done. You know, a couple of years ago, I was just like, that's over.
Move on to the new things. Like you said, you got your hands on things right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but that's crazy right there. Who are some of the bigger stars that you shot?
I mean, any of the black stars, all of them. Mr. Marcus, I mean, all of them. Jada
Mercedes
Fire,
Ashley?
Mercedes, all of them.
Yeah, I interviewed her with Ian Angel.
That one, no, I didn't.
Yeah,
but I mean, just about. I mean, from older ones to newer ones, all kind of stuff. I mean, all of them. I was in it deep.
Yeah. I remember seeing your ads. You know, you had the ads up in the Murder Dog, and at one point, I think Ren did a single. Didn't he do a single for one of your flicks?
Yeah, I have one called Banging in L.A. Yeah, a double had a movie and a CD in it. Double disc. That was like unheard of in that business.
Yeah.
Unheard of.
the only other guy that was doing anything, I don't know if it was at that point or not, was probably Jake Steed or something like that.
Yeah, that was it. And he couldn't rap.
yeah, he couldn't rap, that's for sure. You know, Jake definitely was a Steed. Now, I got to ask you this question, because Lazy Bone addressed it, and a lot of people addressed it. Even Suge Knight made references to it on the Kimmel show.
Whether somebody gave it to him or not.
Yeah, do you think he was injected with AIDS?
I'm going to save that for the book.
You're going to save that for the book. So, okay, yeah. So it might be a possibility. Because I the thing, I mean, I won't go too much into it because I know you want to save it for the book, but it's crazy how dude went from being, you know, healthy to sick to passing away, like in what was it, like a month? Yeah. What was the time frame?
I would say a few weeks, a couple of weeks. Yeah, he was in one hospital, then he went to another one. Yeah, within about 3 weeks, he was gone. Oh, yeah.
And prior to that, he was pretty well healthy?
What I seen of him, he was.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it. Nobody else got it.
Yeah, nobody. That's the thing. None of his kids. Any of the women?
Nobody.
That is crazy. I would like to say this. You know, I mean, if you have AIDS, it doesn't necessarily mean you will pass it on to people.
Yeah.
But for him not to pass it on to anybody, for none of the women not to get it, not to get it to any of the kids, it does look like a conspiracy to me.
I never know, and
if that's the case, that's fucked up because whoever did that robbed his family, his friends like yourself, fans like myself. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully, karma is a bitch, and they'll get what's coming to them.
Oh yeah.
Do you have if you had any speculation? I mean, you don't have to mention names. Do you have any speculations in your mind of who could have possibly done that?
I don't know. I'd put it like this. Money was the rule of all evil. I leave that statement.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, man. I know one person. It wasn't the wife, that's for sure.
It wasn't the wife?
No.
Okay.
Ain't no
way.
That's a fact.
We had somebody on the show prior to you that kind of suggested it was, didn't come out and say. So you're saying it wasn't the wife.
Yeah, okay. Bigger entities involved.
Bigger entities. Could these be possibly the same entities that had something to do with Tupac Slain?
I don't know. That was a totally different kind of thing. You know?
Yeah.
That's a whole different subject there.
Man, can you believe that, though? 3 years in a row, look at who we've lost. I mean, can you imagine if them three dudes, you know, Pac, Big, and Easy were alive today, what kind of music they would have left behind, what kind of legacy?
It'd be different from today, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Maybe the game wouldn't be so feminine right now. I ain't gonna touch that. Yeah, man, you ain't gotta touch it. Listen to the archive, man. You got 100 shows worth of that. Cause, well, you gotta think about it, man. I came up, like I said, the Ghetto Boys, Two Live Crew, N.W.A., Spice One, Ice-T.
Yeah.
So, of course, naturally, when I see some shit go on like this, it's like, no, what the fuck? But, hey, we got some callers on the line. I'm going to bring on 314. Hey, what's up?
What up with the prayers, Mac J, you know?
UGS for life. How you doing, Mac J?
No doubt, man. I'm just sitting up here listening to the interview, man, and Yellow Man. Shit, I just want to salute you, man, for being one of the founders of the gangster rap and all that, you know? Over here,
oh,
UGS, we rock with you, man. And I was going to ask you, what was it like pre Eazy-E and everything, though? Like right when Eazy had died, like was it like a mad dash to see what was gonna happen next, who was gonna run what, or how they was gonna bring out the albums? Was they still looking for new talent and stuff like that, or was it just pretty much like a shutdown mode?
It was more like a shutdown. Like everything froze because courts and stuff got involved. So it was like I just stepped back and just walked away. I left everything. I didn't care at all. Music was gone for me. I didn't even care no more. Not one bit.
Yeah, man, because I always kind of wondered that because it just seemed like but it couldn't happen to no worse group than Bone, because you know they was just coming out, you know what I'm saying, and
mm-hmm.
they had just took the world by storm, and it was kind of like they was just left to kind of fend for their own after they had a lot of success. So I'm pretty sure they had a lot of people coming at them telling them they need to get this, they need to get that, and it just seemed like to me like Easy was like a foundation, sort of like how Master P was with No Limit, or you know.
Yeah,
Lil J and Rap-A-Lot and all that shit. You know, it was always that one, that one guy that seemed to hold it together. And then I kind of always wondered how was the group N.W.A. like the time when Cube had left the group. Was it kind of like, damn, why this dude leave, or we just keep pushing without him, like one monkey don't stop no show type shit.
That's what it was. We didn't. We just kept going forward. We didn't even think about it. He left. He had left. You know, what no. Hard feelings, nothing. We got to move on and do some more. You know, we came back with the EP, then we came back with that last album. So
there wasn't no hard feelings, but A Message to B.A. was a hard track. hard skit. Prelude.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Y'all went hard, and he went hard, too. But, you know what I'm saying, I just always looked at it like, shit, maybe they was – like Q wanted to do his own thing, and motherfuckers was just gonna come at him just because he left. But he ended up doing good, and y'all still did good too. So it was good for hip hop to a certain extent.
Oh yeah, because
we got more music out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to say though. You know, with the when they on the Friday soundtrack, they had the song "Bitch, Please," I believe it was, and they labeled it N.W.A. But they had Snoop in there. What were your thoughts on Snoop being in there? Being that, you know, pretty much that dude was, you know, he pretty much ripped Easy apart every chance he had prior to his death.
You know, I didn't think too much about it. I mean, you know, the past is the past. Everybody let that stuff go. I talked to Q, you know, everybody, you know, talked to each other, you know, like it never happened. You don't even talk about it. It was just like, that 1 year or whatever it was, that was it. You know, we left it alone. You know, everything is like it was before. So that's what I'm saying. The movie's, you know, coming up, and ain't no bitter feelings, none of that kind of stuff. Everybody's here to make their money. That's for sure.
Do y'all got a role for, like, somebody to play the DLC in the movie, too? Because I always felt like he was an integral part of Ruthless Records, too. Like, to me, he was the coldest motherfucker on Ruthless. If you just, that's just my opinion, though. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, he was. If he wouldn't have had that accident, you know, being up all night and drinking and stuff from the video shoots, he was supposed to go on tour the next morning. He was going on tour. He was cold. I mean, his writing was excellent. I mean, just Easy love his writing when Dre found him. I mean, he can write. I mean, his raps was, I mean, he was cold. He was finna be the next Us if he'd have got to a second album. He sure was.
Yeah, that was kind of messed up. You know, one album, and then that happened to him, you know, because he definitely, that album, I mean, that's another platinum. Everything you guys did, even the J.J. Fad stuff, I mean, gold and platinum, multi-platinum.
But people don't realize J.J. Fad was our first gold single and gold album for Ruthless. It was the first one.
That came out before.
Yeah,
your walls got to be
even. Even y'all videos and shit was tight as fuck. My favorite video from y'all is that "We Want Easy" video. Like he was in jail and he bust off the shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
You got the big dookie chain on and shit. That video was cold. And it was like random funny looking white people dancing in the crowd and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Come on now.
No, friends, but I'm just saying, like, I always wonder where the hell they get them from. Like, you know what I'm saying? Look at that video. Oh, that, when you get off there, look at that on YouTube, man.
I know, hey, that's
like, we actually, video. Back then, that was an expensive video. We spent $100,000 on that video. That was a lot for in 1989 or 88 when this came out. That was a lot of money. And I was like, why are we spending this kind of money on this video?
Shit, it got the effect, though, because, shit, look, we talking about it 20 plus years.
Oh,
later,
yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I love that video still to this day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite tracks, really.
Yeah.
Did you produce that track, or was that you and Dre producing all those?
Oh, me and Dre. Me and Dre did all that stuff. Me and Dre did all.
Have you ever done any work like on any Aftermath releases?
Oh, no. I never even met Snoop. I don't know anybody from over there. I just stayed away from all of that.
Wow.
I never met them at all.
That's amazing. Because I always wondered, you know what I'm saying, what you did after you dropped your solo.
You know what I did, actually? I just kicked back, had fun, lived life.
Yeah.
And I wasn't thinking about money. Yeah, I got into that.
Man. When did you get into the porn stuff?
I started the year before Easy died. I had started. You know, I jumped in, bought cameras, bought editing stuff, everything. I jumped in like doing music. Okay, I'm going to do this. I want to do it all. I don't need nobody to do nothing. I could shoot the pictures, everything. I didn't know how to film. I didn't take pictures. I just learned on the fly like it was nothing. Just like the same way we learn music. We just learned on the fly.
Clientele said you was more on the technical side of things. He said you were very hands-on with the, the technical side of things. What age did you get interested into that?
I don't know. We just bought drum machines, and I read the manual and stuff. So I just say, okay, this is simple. This ain't too hard. I love programming the machine. Back then, you had to make sequences. It's totally different now. It's simpler now. But, we had to sync this machine up to that machine and try to put an 808 to the DMX, and it was work back then. Nowadays, they got it simple. Just put it all in the computer.
At what point in time did, Big Hutch come into play? Because I noticed he brought a different sound to Ruthless. You guys, mm-hmm. You and Dre had a certain sound, but when Hutch came, that's when the stuff kind of, a lot of folks say that's when the G-Funk came to Ruthless. What did he bring to the table?
He just had a different style for that group. It was like, so Dre produced that one, him and Hutch, and it was just, just a different style, just like the DLC. It was a different style. Everybody, that's one thing about all the groups he was putting out, they was all their own sound. Nobody sounded the same except, Easy and NWA, which was still one group, but we made it into two groups. So we said, there's a double 20 here. So, us and them, they just brought their own kind of style. They definitely did.
Yeah, they still, to this day, Cocaine. I mean, you got to look at Cocaine. His dad was on Motown, I believe. That motherfucker, mm-hmm. when it comes to rapping and singing, that dude is on a whole nother universe, a whole nother plateau.
Yeah.
Do you think he got the credit that he deserved over the years?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't judge. Nate got more height than him. That's for sure. He got larger than him. Maybe because, he was on them songs or something like that. It's hard to, if you're not on the right song, that is a hit. You can have all the talent in the world. But if it ain't on a hit, people won't hear it. They will not hear it.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true. Man, so this movie, I want to ask you this. This movie, everybody's in trying to be involved and make sure everything, goes right. After mm-hmm. production, after its release, what do you want to see out of this movie?
I just wanted to, see it do good. Maybe people appreciate it, maybe like it, because the story is going to be pretty accurate. Story's gonna be pretty good, and I don't know. It's hard to say what people gonna get out of it because they're gonna make this movie not like a TV special movie or nothing. It's gonna be a real top of the line production. You know, a big company just bought it. So, I mean, one of the biggest companies just bought it.
Yeah, some of that good red carpet shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that kind of, yeah. Big premieres, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's gonna be off the hook. It's going to be pretty good. And, you know, maybe a tour might come out of this. You never know.
I would love to see it. Right now, the Ghetto Boys are on tour. Of course, you know what I'm saying, our homie DJ Ready Redding ain't out there with them, which we'd love to see. If they do a tour, are you going to be behind the wheels?
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. I'm not a rapper, so I'm going to do what I do.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, man. I'm glad to hear that, you know, because if anyone should be, it should be you. You know, it shouldn't be no new DJ, none of these cats out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be DJ Yellow.
So, yeah, that's why they wanted me for the hologram. You know, because I was with him. You know, I was there with him. I helped did all this stuff. So that's why they exactly wanted me for the hologram.
What was that experience like, though? I mean, was it tedious work, or, you know, explain to the fans, like, what exactly you had to do, if you can.
Oh, for the hologram?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I had to do the track first. You know, pick out the song. Me and the wife picked out the song, you know, which ones we can use and stuff. So I picked more of his hits. And then I have to get Derek, the second son, to do the vocals. You know, he's doing all the talk parts, not on the song, but in between, because he sounded like his dad. So I had to, you know, coach him on all that. And once we got the track together, then the next thing was videotaping Little Easy with the body, you know, to film his body movement. So I had to coach him like I had to do his daddy. His daddy used to forget the words in the concert. So Little Easy was the same way, forgetting verses, and I had to tell him to bring the mic up. It's crazy. He's just like his daddy. Forgetful. But it wasn't too bad, but it was kind of fun. And then when I first seen the hologram, I walked in on it. It was up on the stage. I'm like, whoa. I almost had to back out the room. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, this is not real. Because it looked that real. I mean, when you see it in person, it looks real. I mean, it looked like somebody is standing on that stage.
Wow.
That's crazy.
And you know, Little Easy, you know, I've interviewed him several times over the years, too. And I always wondered why you know what I'm saying, he hasn't gotten to where he should be. You know, the dude is talented. He sounds just like his father.
Oh, yeah, he do. He got to hook up with me, that's all. We about to hook up now and do shows and stuff like that. We've been talking, so, you know, I got to pull him along now. I helped his daddy, I guess I'll help him, too.
That's what's up, man. That would be the shit right there. Do you plan on producing some stuff for him? Or?
We gonna talk to him and see what, you know, he's been doing, and, you know, hey, you need to go this direction, or do it like this, do it like your daddy, you know. Whatever I need to say to him, I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna bite my tongue off.
I think he did a remake of Easier Said Than Done, if I'm not mistaken, some years back, and it sounds just like him. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he sounds like him, yeah. But his brother sounds like his daddy even more.
Now, which one are you talking about, Young Easy or Easy 3?
No, E3. He sounds like his daddy.
Yeah, E3.
Yeah. That's who was doing the vocals for the hologram in between the songs. It was E3.
Well.
And then the sister was doing the face. But she looked more like him than the brothers.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, it's a big production, because it's a certain stage they have to bring to every show, the same stage and stuff. It's a trip. Now, are you guys anywhere near D.C. or New Jersey?
No. You know what I'm saying? We got a few people out in New Jersey, though. First Fam Radio, and then, of course, DJ.
Yeah, it's going to be off the hook next in a couple of weeks. Definitely.
Are you going to be near Trenton, New Jersey, or...?
We going to the Meadowlands or something in New Jersey. I don't know where that is, or like a big, I don't know what it is, racetrack or something.
We got to holler at the people then, man, because we got people out there that they'd probably love to see that.
Man. It's sold out. Most of it is sold out.
I would imagine. Did you see the ODB with the Wu-Tang Clan?
I seen them filming it. I haven't seen it. Well, actually, I seen it the other night at rehearsal, and his looked pretty good, too. The son looked pretty good.
I wonder if they're going to do a Big Pun one.
No telling.
You never know. They might just start popping them out all over now.
Oh, yeah. I bet I think they're really trying to get up to, like, the Michael Jackson and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The big heavy hitters, you know, where they're going to have whole tours doing that. The technology is there. I mean, it's like, ooh, is somebody standing there? You know, like, wow.
I just wish they would release more videos of it, you know, because right now they just got that one video. You know, it's just. You know,
I think it's two of them. I think it's like two of them I've seen.
Oh, there's two of them? There's the one from San Jose?
Yeah.
Because I know the.
Not
the one from
San Jose.
One?
I don't know. I haven't seen this. I haven't even typed in to even look for the San Jose one yet. Not at all. Because I got pictures, you know, on my Facebook where I'm standing next to him. People are like, that's the hologram? But yeah, that's the hologram. You know, they think it is somebody there or a picture of somebody. If you go to my Facebook, I got them all on it. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely check out your Facebook. Now you're doing DJ gigs. You said you just got back from fucking Dubai. What was that like, man?
Different. Hot and different. I tried to take a shower and cut it on all cold, and the water's still hot.
Wow.
It's hot out here. But, it's a rich country, though. For a small country, it's rich. I mean, they love our old music. All that old stuff. I don't care what group it is. Anything from the, you know, mid to late 80s, early 90s, they love it.
It's timeless.
Yeah, that's why I'm stuck right there, too, for real. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
35.
That's a lot 80s of them.
In the 90s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was the best music made in them years. Definitely.
And you,
I think
you guys, I mean, all these years later, you know what I'm saying, it's good to see you guys are still doing your own thing. I mean, you're out there on the road doing, you know, DJing again, and, you know, that's what's up. I really hope you and Lil E do some stuff together, too, man. Are you going to work with E3 and Young Easy, too? Or?
Young Easy, I've never met him.
Oh, you never met him before?
Yeah, I never met him, because E3 is my godson, so I'm definitely going to put them together. That's for sure.
Now, when was E3 born?
E3 was born, I would say, about 86, 87, somewhere right around there. Right when we just started. Because I remember Mama pregnant. I remember.
Who was in the Only If You Want It? Which one was
that?
Was someone
E3. That was E3. That was Derek.
So is he the oldest?
Nah, Lil E's
the oldest. E's the oldest, right?
Yeah, By a couple of years, I think. 2 years, maybe.
Now, what about you? Is there going to be a little DJ Yella running around making the...
I just keep stuff private. I don't tell people nothing.
Yeah.
I keep everything private.
Right, I was about to say, he did say he lay back in the cut.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's how I am. I like to have fun. I like to go. I go anywhere, I have fun. That's how I am. Whether I'm going to the desert or to the water, I just have fun. It's always been like that.
I mean,
money ain't
humble
everything.
As hell, man. You seem real fucking humble. I mean, a lot of guys I interview, you know, some of them might come off a little cocky or arrogant. I mean, you just laid back. I mean, you always been like that? Or?
Always. I don't change. Money don't change me at all. Money is just money. You know, that don't mean nothing. It comes, it goes. It don't matter. I just like kicking back, having fun.
Well, what's in store for Yella in the next few years? I mean, we know you got the movie. You're working on a book. What else you want to do in the next few years?
Really that, the book, the movie, and the DJing. I really want to DJ a lot. That's what I want to do. You know, Asia, Europe, all that. I'm getting ready to go to all them places. That's what I want to do. I love DJing, because that's where we originally started, was DJs. We were DJs. And we felt more like...
Go ahead.
No, I said we felt more like stars when we was DJing. That's how we was like stars when we was DJing. So by the time we started doing records, it was no big thing. You know, we just doing what we love.
Do you think rap got away from the DJ element of hip-hop?
I see it's trying to come back because I see a lot of commercials with DJs in it now. You know, even though you don't hear no scratching or nothing in the song, it just everybody is the look. Just like headphones. I never would have thought people be wearing headphones everywhere. I mean, Dre's headphones changed the world of headphones. Now everybody makes headphones. You know, that's just crazy. Back then, there was only one or two kind of headphones you wear. Radio Shack or Sony.
Yeah. The game is, that's the good thing about the game, it's constantly changing. So there's hope.
Yeah.
There's hope. I'm hoping it comes back to the streets.
It's gonna go back. It's gonna come back. I'm telling you now, it's gonna come back. It's gotta come back. It's gonna go far left. It's gotta come back.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Like, it's gotta come back to the essence of it, man, because they letting it get way out of control with a lot of stuff. So now you're trying to see other people just to be different, they gonna try to bring it back.
Yeah.
I hope, but as long as it's still legends like y'all doing shit, man. You know, to preserve this, it takes guys like you sharing, like how you sharing with us right now. You know what I'm saying? Because stories need to be heard. This younger generation, they need to know their history.
Yeah, they don't know nothing.
They don't know shit.
They don't.
There's a lot of stuff.
But you know, from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was saying.
Oh, go ahead.
At the Rock the Bell shows I've been doing. Everybody come up to me. I don't care if they what group they from. They always say, "Man, you're a legend." And I'm just like, "Am I really? I mean, I don't feel like nothing. You know, I feel just normal." But everybody got respect for us. It's crazy. I mean, everybody. I don't care if it's a 80-year-old security guard at the store or something. Everybody got respect for us. It's amazing to me. I'm shocked.
Well, I think what it was is you guys were the first to really come out and go at the establishment. I mean, Public Enemy did it, obviously, you know, but you guys, I mean, you know, Public Enemy did it in a different way.
Well, they was more political. They was more
I was about to say, they was political. Y'all were straight
political.
Street.
Yeah, you guys were, you guys just went right at the cops and said, fuck the police. No one ever said that before. You know what I mean?
We just
at
played
that
song from Fuck the Police special, too.
Yeah, man, I mean, you know, everybody wanted to say it, but you ain't going to say it to a cop, that's for sure.
You'd
be face down in dirt.
At that time, what was the hostility like from the police? I remember I went to see George Carlin. This was in 2002, you know, the comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a security guard in the back. Right away, he's like, "Oh, look at the pig! Hey, fuck the police!" You know, even he was saying it. You know, what was the hostility like from the cops? Did any of them ever fuck with you?
No, only when we got to Detroit. When our tour came to Detroit, they was, you know, they threw us off the stage. I mean, because they even started a riot in there. It was crazy. Because we were told not to do the song on the whole tour. That's how we got the tour. Okay. For some reason, when we get to Detroit, to do the song. And when we played that song, undercovers came from everywhere. I mean, they just, everybody, we just left the stage. Just gone. Went in 10 directions, seemed like that. It was crazy. But that was the only time they really did anything. Well, I used to hear about people that be going to our shows, and if they playing the song, the cops take their cassette out, tear it up and stuff. I said, okay, that means they got to buy another one. That's more for us.
Yeah, and that's exactly what used to happen. I used to get my grandmother used to catch me with tapes and destroy them. I think a lot of tell people the first ass whooping I got was for singing Gangsta Gangsta. Didn't know my mother was standing behind me. Got the smack down, but they knew we was going to listen to the music, man. It was just time and a place when we was real young, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't stop it. You know,
I mean, they couldn't stop us because they started coming out with the walkmans and all that shit. That was it. We could take
they
the music.
They had the parental advisory sticker, you know, but when, you know, when you're in sixth grade and you'd be like, hey, Dad, I can't buy this. Why don't you go in there and cop this record for me? Pops is like, okay. You know, he's not thinking of nothing, you know. He's listening to Fats Domino and Jerry Lee Lewis and shit like that. He, you know, then on the way home in his Buick Riviera, I pop in the tape, you know, and he gets to hear it. He looks at me, what the fuck did I just buy you?
Yeah. And see, Prez, we just had winos in the hood that we just, you know, give them a couple bucks if they go in and get it for us, right along with bottles of liquor and, you know, other miscellaneous items.
Yeah.
But they wasn't going to stop the music. And then once one person got a tape, somebody dubbed the tape. And then, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And that's all it took, man. And as we got older, it was always good. Like me, I'm only 35, so I was a little guy when y'all was older guys doing it. So as we got older, you know, that's when the Snoops and everything came in, the Tupacs.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge Spice One fan, too. And it was like when NWA just split up, and with the DLC being gone, too, it just opened it. Not only it opened it up for a whole lot of other people too, man.
With
y'all not doing y'all thing like that.
Oh yeah, I mean, because you think about it, it started for me and Dre. And look at all the groups that came after that, from Snoops to Eminem. I mean, just all kind of groups. I mean, we never thought when we first met that we would be doing something like that at all. But Dre would tell me. Dre told me this years ago. He said, if it wasn't for me and you, none of this would happen. And we were sitting in front of, inside of a $10 million house.
Let me ask you this, though. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now you made a good point. Everybody played their part. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But what about Eazy-E? Let's say Eazy-E wasn't the money man. Did you and Dre still have plans to come out with some gangster shit? Whose idea was to come out with the street shit?
It was Dre's idea, but Eazy just happened to be there at the right time. You know, he had the money. And then he got lucky enough to do the verse that the New York guys didn't want to do. You know, it all happened for a reason.
Everything all just fell into place.
Oh, yeah, like clockwork. I mean, like clockwork. I mean, we was popping out. Everything we popped out was flat, like it was nothing. The problem was, what happened to us, it was just going to be too much money. And the outsider was the one that ruined the group. Not the insider, the outsider. That killed us.
Yeah.
And I ain't saying no name.
Yeah, that's for the book. That's for the book, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, when you do the book, we got to have you on, because I have a feeling after the book drops, it's going to be a whole different interview.
Oh, yeah, ain't no problem.
Yeah.
I'm like this all the time. I'm just laid back all the time.
Yeah. What does Yellow like to do for fun, man? I mean, I know you like to rock the crowd and stuff, but what do you like to do when you're not Yellow, when you're just, you know, yourself?
You know, now I like the movie. I like to go to the movies. I love the popcorn at the movies. That's like my biggest thing now. I just like to go to the movies. I don't know why. You can get the bootleg anywhere, but I like to see it.
Right.
Yeah.
The feel of going to the movies and shit.
Multi-platinum recording artist talking about getting the bootleg.
Hey, I'm real. I'm down to earth.
Yeah, that's real shit, man. What kind of flicks do you like? The horror, the comedy?
I don't like horror. I don't like comedies. Is cool. I like not really too much space movies, but you know, I just seen Elysium or whatever the name of it was last night, and that was pretty good. That wasn't too bad. But horror movies, all that horror stuff. The old days, Exorcism, that was real horror movie, not these.
Yeah. Well, The Conjuring is pretty good. Check that shit out.
Oh,
The Conjuring wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, that's what's up, man. That's what's up. And you're completely done with the porn business.
Oh yeah, that's done. I had my run in that. It's cool. I've done it. I'm all right. I ain't got to do that.
Yeah. That's what it is. Well, if anybody wants to book you, you know, for a gig or even get your production services, what's the best way to get at you, man?
Just go to my Facebook page, DJ Yella of NWA, and just leave a message. I answer all messages. Definitely.
That's real shit, man. That's definitely real shit. And I want to thank you for coming on here. I mean, you spent over an hour with us.
I'm here.
You know, that's real shit, man. You know, as a kid growing up listening to you, I'm sure Mac J will, you know what I'm saying, agree with me. It's an honor to see you still doing shit today, and you're a real humble dude, man, real humble guy. Got nothing but respect for you, man, real talk.
Yeah, I mean, I thank the people. I'm like, hey, I'm honored. You know, I'm honored. Hey, the truth. I am honored.
Yeah, when the little dudes at the Rock and Bell shows be coming up and telling you you a legend, man, that's because, for real, man, y'all legendary to a lot of people, old and young, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, take it all in, man, y'all work for it.
Yeah.
Y'all deserve it, you know?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to, you know, I'm just like, really, me? You know, but I guess I'm just too humble or something, I don't
know. Yeah. Well, that's real shit. Before we go, could I get a drop for you for the radio show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, ain't no problem. Tell me what I need to say.
Yeah, well, this is the Murder Master Music Show. And my name is Craig.
Murder
Master.
Oh, Murder Master. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Murder Master Music Show. And my name is Perez.
Murder Master Music Show?
Yeah.
Okay, Music Show and Craig.
Prez, P-R-E-Z.
Prez, Craig and Prez, or?
No, just Prez, like president.
Okay, Prez, okay.
Okay, yeah, I seen that on the message, okay. Murder Master Music Show with Prez.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me know when I got to do it.
Yeah, you, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group. Let me do it again. Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group. You're listening to Murder Master Music Show. You understand me? Murder Master Music Show with Prez in the house.
Man, much appreciated. Much appreciated, brother.
Oh, I know.
Thank you so much. And, when's your book coming out? Are you in the early stages?
It'll probably be after the movie. It'll be after the movie.
Okay.
Definitely be right after the movie.
Definitely. So now is the script wrote for the movie? Is it all
ready
to go?
Yeah, it's in final stages. One more rewrite, just rewriting a few things. Well, they'll be shooting in January, so.
Do they have the cast?
They casting. You know, I don't know if they got the exact one, but I was talking to Dre. He showed me a guy that probably be playing him. So.
I would hope that you know, Little E would play his dad. You know,
they want Oscar caliber actors. They want this movie to be top notch.
Yeah.
Not just you're part of the family. No, they want real. You know, they want this story to be right. They don't want no TV 3 o'clock movie to be coming on. Now this is real.
You know who they gonna get to play you?
Nah. You know what's so funny? When I was in San Jose Saturday, this guy walked up to me and I was doing the casting to play you in the movie. I'm like, wow, no wonder you kind of look familiar. I'm like, crazy.
Who would you like to play you in the movie? Is there anybody out there that you like? He could rock
I
me.
I think they're trying to stay away from too well known people because they didn't want to take away characters.
Okay.
They want the story to be not, I remember this guy in this movie, and, you know, I think they're trying to kind of
So they're going to be like Terrence, it ain't going to be like Terrence Howard playing you or nothing, is it?
Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, they're trying to make it where the story takes over, not the character.
Yeah.
You know, somebody, whoever's playing us or something like that.
Well, whoever it is, I think this movie is definitely going to make stars out of these actors. Because
yeah,
it's gonna be
Gary
flip.
Gray is directing. Gary Gray's will be directing it. So.
Oh, okay. I'm most definitely gonna go see it.
So, I mean, do you know much about the script? I mean, is it going to focus on the early days of NWA, or is it going to go all the way to the Suge Knight thing?
It's going to go from the beginning to the end. That's for sure.
Kind of
I read
like
the script.
Documentary?
But a real, you know, real movie, you know.
Yeah.
It's gonna have all of, you know, all of it. So the story is pretty accurate. Yeah, it's pretty accurate. Pretty close.
Man.
I can't wait to fucking see it.
Yeah, I know. I just hope they do y'all justice. You know what I'm saying? Yourself, you're a real humble dude, especially Easy, too. I really hope they do Easy justice, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the dudes that has passed throughout the years. He hasn't really gotten the props that the Tupacs and the Big Puns and other people have until recently. You know, like when they said they were doing the Easy hologram, I was like, whoa, that's needed.
Yeah.
You know, people need to know who Easy E was. You know, and what he contributed to the game. So, But again, I want to thank you for coming on this show, and hopefully we can have you on again in the future. We also like to do roundtables here, where we get people from different parts of the country, legends and pioneers. If I'm able to put something together with like DJ Ready Red, Mr. Mix, maybe DJ Premier. Would you want to be in on something like that and talk to all them dudes?
Yeah, just let me know.
Man, that's what's up. That's what's up, brother. Thank you so much, Yella. I really appreciate you, fam.
Okay. Hey, no problem.
Man, okay.
No doubt.
All right, thanks for coming through,
okay,
brother.
Right.
Man, that's one hell of a
that was
contributor and a pioneer to this rap game. For those of you youngsters that don't know who NWA is, I suggest you go back and get the albums. But start with this song right here, because right now this song is more needed than it ever was. I'm constantly seeing videos of the police beating the shit out of old ladies. They're beating the shit out of little kids, and it don't matter the race, don't matter the
intimidating motherfuckers and all that shit. Yeah,
it's worse than it ever was. We live in a police state for real, and NWA over 25 years ago now warned us about this shit. They warned us what was happening to them in their community, in South Central, in Compton, in places like Flint, Michigan, in Chicago, south side of Chicago, west side of Chicago, and it's happening right fucking now. Motherfuck the police.
Right about now, NWA quarters in full effect. Judge Gray residing. In the case of NWA versus the police department, prosecuting attorneys are MC Ren, Ice Cube, and Easy motherfucking E. Order. Ice Cube, take the motherfucking stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help your black ass? You goddamn right. But won't you tell everybody what the fuck you gotta say?
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad cause I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that shit cause I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on. And thrown in jail, we can go toe to toe in the middle of a cell. Fucking with me cause I'm a teenager with a little bit of gold and a pager. Searching my car, looking for the product. Thinking every nigga is selling narcotics. You'd rather see me in the pen than me and Lorenzo rolling in a Benzo. Be the police out of shape, and when I finish, bring the yellow tape to take off the scene of the slaughter. Still getting swole of bread and water. I don't know if they fags or what. Search a nigga down and grabbing his nuts. And on the other hand, without a gun, they can't get none. But don't let it be a black and a white one, cause they'll slam you down to the street top. Black police showing out for the white cops.
motherfucking weapon is kept in a stash spot for the so-called law, which in real was a nigga that they never saw. Lights start flashing behind me, but they're scared of a nigga, so they mace me to blind me. But that shit don't work, I just laugh, because it gives them a head not to step in my path. But police, I'm saying, fuck you, punk. Read my rights and shit, it's all junk. Pulling out a silly club, so you stand with a fake-ass badge and a gun in your hand. But take off the gun so you can see what's up, and we'll go at it, punk, and I'ma fuck you up. Think you think I'ma kick your ass, but drop your gas, and Red's gonna blast. I'm sneaky as fuck when it comes to crime, but I'ma smoke them now and not next time. Smoke any motherfucker that sweats me, any asshole that threatens me. I'm a sniper with a hell of a scope, taking out a cop or two that can't cope with me. The motherfucking villain that's mad, with potential to get bad as fuck, so I'ma turn it around, put in my clip, yo, and this is the sound. Yeah, something like that, but it all depends on the size of the gap. Taking out a police would make my day, but a nigga like Ren don't give a fuck to say.
For a minute, yeah, that dude right there, man. That guy. When you look back at the archive, he's like another DJ Red, another Cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Just real humble dude, and I can see why. You know what I'm saying? He is considered a legend. You know, real humble dude.
Yep, and one of the reasons why you never really heard his name and none of that bullshit, none of the other shit, because like he said, he's just been laying back, doing his own thing.
Yeah, and I want to shout out to homegirl Elaine. She's a huge supporter of the movement.
Much love
to you, Elaine. You know what I'm saying? It's UGS for life. We definitely support you and everything you do. I want to shout out Christine, you know, over there in Australia. Everybody, you know, Peter, Nadia, Matthew's family. Rest in peace to my brother Matthew. Want to shout out, man, there's so many people. I don't want to forget everybody. I'm just going to say UGS because there's so many people involved.
Yeah.
In UGS, so I want
to
shout out to
Chill and First Fam and them yesterday, man. I called in, check out the show, man. He brought me on, man. He showed me love, let me plug us, and he plugged us for like about 5 to 10 minutes on his show. Something he really didn't have to do,
First
but
Fam,
he always showing mad love and shit, man.
First Fam, you know, Charles, Chill, everybody over there. They've had me on the show several times. Me and Six on the show. They've had Elaine on the show. You on the show. They've been on our show. Matter of fact, he was on the I think he was on the
EP9 show. He was on one of the Rick Ross shows, too.
Yeah, yeah. He was, you know what I'm saying? And hopefully, if everything goes good, you know, we might be, I might be co-hosting a Professor Griff episode with First Fam this week.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If everything goes good. And then, of course, we're gonna bring what's his face, Professor Griff, on this show too. I can't speak. You gotta forgive me. I got too much shit on my mind. But that was one hell of a fucking show, man. Again, I can't thank you enough for you know what I'm saying, just being humble. You know, we've had some total fucking assholes come on the show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We had a motherfucker just stand us up for a show. You know what I'm saying? And then you get somebody that's a legend, probably going to be in the fucking Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with their shit. And he come right on the show and he chatted up with us like he been knowing us for years. So other motherfuckers that just don't take the time, we see why y'all doing what y'all doing. And it's always an honor, man, to get guys on like that. So for every asshole that we come across, Prez, when you get somebody like this on, it make it all worth it. It just erase all that other shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And I want to shout out our web, you know what I'm saying, our webmaster, Dome. If it wasn't for him, UGSforLife.com would not be possible. That motherfucker, every time we do a show, the moment the show's over, he's got that shit uploaded, ready to go. Several occasions when we got big press, it was because of his quick work, you know what I'm saying, at getting the show ready so I could send out the press release and get it to the people before someone stole our shit. Because we've had plenty of times where people would take the show and just post it, you know, and get credit for it, so to speak. So I want to shout out Dome for all the hard work he does. Shit, man. Shout out to BG. Tomorrow night we got 9 p.m., you know what I'm saying, Underground Classics, episode 19. It's the hottest mix on the fucking net. You know what I'm saying? Dude, one hell of a DJ himself. So shout out to BG. Mm-hmm. Of course, you guys got Fuck You Bitch Radio, KFYB, Saturday.
Yep.
Do you know what the plans are this week? I always have the pleasure of being kind of like a honorary co-host. Except I come in and get roasted.
Right,
by,
we don't have it's Real Talk with Prez, man. That's your segment now. It's Real Talk with Prez. Velvet came up with that, you know what I'm saying? Prez always come on and he always keeping it real with us. So when you come, you always got your segment, you know what I'm saying? Six always got some intro music for you, so.
Yeah, he always puts
surprising,
the 80s
surprising he ain't called tonight because you could have got his ass back.
Oh, yeah. You know I got to get Six back. Come on. I mean, you know, we got him with this Cyndi Lauper shit, you know, because girls just want to have fun, and we know he's digging that. But, yeah, he always gets me with the gayest 80s shit, man. Like last week it was fucking Bananarama. I thought I was in the Karate Kid and shit, looking for Mr. Miyagi. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The week before that it was some... I don't even know what the fuck was. He had Boy George. I don't know. Six is a damn fool. You crazy motherfucker. You know, we'll get you, motherfucker. We'll get you. But speaking of Six, man, Six is a good dude, man. If you guys need artwork, anybody that needs artwork, get at Six. Go to UGSforLife.com/services. And, you know, also, you know, we got an engineer, an in-house engineer at UGS, you know what I'm saying, Jerry Mateo. This motherfucker works in a professional studio, one of the biggest rock and roll studios in Los Angeles. You know what I'm saying? He does mixing, he does mastering, all types of audio work. If you need that, hit up the page right there. And, you know, just keep fucking with us, man. Share the page, like the page. And we got me and Lane got some big things planned for the Church of Reality. We're gonna revisit, you know what I'm saying, the whole sex slavery issue, man, because that is the quickest, fastest growing crime in America right now. People don't even realize it. They don't even know how many. I mean, there's literally 300,000 children that are trapped in these sex rings. They're being pimped on the streets underage. They're being sold to doctors, lawyers, and politicians. You know, and so we got to keep talking about it. We got to keep fighting it. And, you know, we got that in the works, and we got some other things in the works, too. So we'll be looking out for an episode of Church of Reality real soon.
Oh, yeah.
And, shit, other than that, we will see you guys know what I'm saying, hopefully next week, episode 98. See, Player Fly, you could have had 97, you motherfucker, you. But
right.
You ditched us.
Fly-looking,
you know,
motherfucker.
Saying?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, man.
He probably Trinidad James kicking it with motherfucker. I seen that song, man. I was, oh man, it's just like if it was just like when Michael Jordan first went and played for the motherfucking Wizards. Like just to see him in another uniform, it's just like, you motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it just takes something out of you, man. So when and then when they do what they do, and I hear shit like that, fuck them. You know what I'm saying? I'm still bump your old shit, but as far as your new shit.
Yeah, it's like East Side or Dubstep or something like that, you know. But episode 98, it's a toss-up. We might have DMC from Run DMC, who is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So that's going to be a fucking huge show for us, trying to put that together right now. And then, you know, then there's only a couple more episodes after that. Once we hit 100, we're going to drop this mixtape, you know, say Murder Mass Music Show Mixtape Volume 1. If you ain't got your tracks in, you know what I'm saying, it's your loss, you know, because this shit will get pressed, trust me.
Right,
so,
bitches.
You know, that's what it is. All right, rest in peace, Easy motherfucking E, the godfather of gangster rap. We're out this bitch. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. UGSforlife.com.
On you, motherfucking bitch.
It's the juice of the radio, taking out profanity. So they can play it though, listen to the hell of a kick and the hi-hat, going to the record store. Say you're gonna buy that the E is connected to the A and the C, and say why, so that's how to be. Back it up on material made of hits, taking my time with each line to make sure it fits. Push play on the instrumental that's recorded. Step on stage and I'm suddenly awarded. Some put a trophy appeared like a plaque, and some hell of a scream from the girls in the back. Taking a bow, it's like I style. Never at the bottom of ways, on the top of the pile. You always see me on top, even though I'm short. Guaranteed the house when I walk in the court. So get out, make some noise for the gangster clap. Don't attempt to laugh, I'm not a pranker. I'm serious, straight my style, so quit playing around, cause I'ma break it down. Making a rhyme this, I had to change the tempo and make it hyper. While they was rocking, I was getting riper, ready to go like never before. Giving you more because I'm ready to score. Ren is my buddy, you can tell I've been often helping me destroy the suckers that soften. Curing diseases, a rhyme pleases, Lord and King of all seven seasons. This is a doctrine, and I'm locked in. I made up my mind, and I think I'm gonna rock in. You got beat this steel, and I'm a butcher. The freeze after I cut you, cause I'm a butcher. And say you have price, and then out you go. Cause the percentage don't work, belly, a very low. Messing with a gun with bullets, you get hurt. Like I said before, you get rushed to the dirt. I'm not a lawman, but I'm a raw man.
But you're the dopest one I ever saw, man.
I keep dropping it pound for pound, and when I'm on the mic, I always throw down. To keep y'all dancing to my funky sound. So listen up, cause I'ma break it down. Now look at me, and not at the poster. And you can see right off, I got the most of the talent. For the rhyme that's made, top song of the day is this one. So, pick another artist and this one. I got the ballot of the chosen vote, cause I don't need water to clear my throat. Come from the rear and show, I'm like Dan.